Hey, look, mister. We save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
No, no, trash talk!
I did there, Steven?
Yes, I did.
219.
That was a little choo-choo nice.
Train song from Tom Waits. Episode 219, Know the Trash Talk. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
I'm Steve McJeezy.
And we got a special third guest, the rare third guest on the show, or third person.
The Nameless Goon.
He's going by the Nameless Goon. Everybody.
I'm gonna call him DM. So that's going to be my name for him.
People come on the show from time to time, and they don't want to give up too much private information and get themselves in trouble for saying something silly. So, okay, context, as we do for every show, it's Sunday. It is December 9th, 2018, from Mid-City, New Orleans. We are about 50 minutes away from the Saints-Buccaneers game in Tampa, and already on the Saints Facebook page, they have posted
the sideways rain.
The field conditions in Tampa. Looks like that's going to be a mess out there. We, of course, will enjoy it from a nice, dry, warm, comfy bar.
One of my coworkers is there right now. I feel so bad for her.
So it's Christmas time in the city. Did you get where I took the intro clip from, Steven?
It sounded like George Costanza.
No.
But it was not. Yeah.
It's a Christmas classic from the 40s. Nameless Goon. Do you
want A Wonderful Life?
You got it!
Oh, gosh.
You got it!
Yeah, I was going to go for that, but
I
didn't think of it too quick.
I haven't seen that movie in forever, and the first time I ever saw it was with somebody who I think I've told you before. If she died, I mean, I'd probably smile. So that was the last time I saw that movie.
When he like loses his job and comes home and like screams at his kids and flips the table over, it's my favorite Christmas scene in any movie history.
I barely remember it. I thought it was supposed to be like this joyous movie, and then it was started just going down the drain.
He kills himself.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
It's fantastic. Nameless Goon. Just describe, I guess, as ambiguous and possible as possible, what you do.
I am a funeral director at a funeral home.
And how peaceful is that?
Extremely peaceful. It's especially with all the wonderful people here in New Orleans.
So yeah, we were just before we started recording. He had a great funeral story already about the sewage and water board. Even in death, they'll fuck your life up.
Wait, I kind of came in on the middle of it. So they turned the water off, and then they didn't inform you guys, and so what was the rest from there?
Completely busy day. Probably hundreds of people coming in and out of the building. You get that many people, you know, someone eventually is going to have to use the bathroom.
Is that just a large amount of funerals?
Yes, that is correct.
Business is booming.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, death and taxes, baby. You know it.
So sometime in the morning for about 4 hours on, no water anywhere in the building. And not even at any of our other buildings. So we usually have to shuttle people. Well, we couldn't do that because we don't have enough people to drive the cars in addition to who's, you know, working. We called them. They said, you're supposed to look at the notification page. That way you can prepare.
So the sewage and water board is putting the onus on you two.
Exactly.
You got to go to our website and check. We're going to just shut your water off randomly. Exactly.
And you guys could have had, like, porta potties out there had you known that.
Could have. And we've had to do it before. We've had portable restrooms delivered.
How long was it shut off?
About 4 hours.
Wow.
So,
and basically what is an event hall.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
For weeping and crying people.
Yeah. And it's like, what do you do?
Yeah, is working at a funeral home a bummer, or are you just completely jaded and like whatever?
In some ways I am, some ways I'm not.
Because I had conversations, similar thing, all of life's milestones, funerals, weddings, when you have to go to those like soulless wedding halls, just the big empty rooms, and like, there's like the dead-eyed staff that's serving the food and the drinks. I always ask those people, like, do any of you believe in love anymore after seeing like the
we used to work weddings at the Columns, and that kind of how it was. I mean, we do.
Everybody get like,
it's wedding season.
After
you,
you hear so many speeches.
Oh gosh.
When Joey met Caitlin, we just knew like that. If you hear that 1,000 times, it's like yeah, this will last 6 months, sure.
The only thing that was cool about doing them is that you could get hammered with them, and you know if you can maintain composure, that's a fun job to have.
I'm sure you're not allowed to do that, though.
Well, we kind of
staff didn't. Should not be out dancing.
Well, we're not dancing, but like if you're bartending, you know, you slip your boy a drink who's you know passing hors d'oeuvres, but it there comes a problem is that your boy who's serving the fried catfish forgot to let them sit, and people were burning like scalding their mouths.
So do you get equally as jaded? Like, do you have to listen to the eulogies and everything that?
Yeah, we hear a lot of eulogies. A lot of times it's people up there just talking about themselves. Like they're making it about themselves. So you want to tell them, don't worry, you'll get your funeral one day.
Oh, God.
Let this person have
See, I don't
time.
Go to a lot of funerals. But
neither
that,
do I.
But that sounds true.
So you're saying that the people giving the eulogy often make it about
themselves.
Like, oh, gosh.
It's
I would want the corpse to sit up and be like, would you shut the fuck
right.
Seriously, you want to tell them, it's like, really, you're going to get your funeral one day, at least make it about them. Or you'll get people who are extremely rude to you and complain about, like, the tissue box ran out or the candles aren't bright enough. I'm calling your manager.
The candles aren't bright enough?
I've gotten that before. That is honest to God, true.
You should just go get those, like, 20,000 candlelight power, like, flashlights on Walmart. Here you go.
That's what I want.
10,000 candles.
Place them with LEDs or something.
Oh, God, LED screens at a funeral.
They'll sit there and complain about that and just be extremely rude to you, but then they get up to give a eulogy and they're like.
So it's the funeral equivalent of Bridezilla.
Pretty much, yeah. Jesus. But, you know.
Is there?
I just don't know how you have time to be. Like bitching and moaning or about small stuff.
Have you noticed the change in demeanor of people depending on like the age of the deceased? Like younger people have like a sadder wedding or more cooperative, where like older people are nastier and
it's all across the board. Ages does not discriminate with all the rude people. I'll tell you that.
Wow, there you go. Even in death, just still an asshole.
Yeah, it's just like I don't know. How do you have time to do that? You know, you're supposed to be mourning, and then you're like bitching about the tissue boxes or the lights, and then you said they go up and do the eulogy and act like the world's over again. Oh wow!
What's the saddest one you've ever seen?
Saddest funeral?
I mean, picking the saddest funeral is just. Yeah.
There was one where, and this was in
the kid had SIDS.
No, not even that. It was in.
Don't make me tell my SIDS story.
It was. I actually want to hear that. It was on the coast.
Yeah, I will. It's awful. But
so it wasn't here. It was in
not here. And this kid was playing for a high school soccer team.
So it was a kid. So it was sadder as a kid. Okay.
It's sad. But he got knocked in the head by a soccer ball. A couple of days later, falls out, passes away. A
soccer ball.
Ooh.
But then when his mom came,
but
in,
probably like a blood clot or something.
Something, man. Yeah. But the way she was screaming, I don't care how tough you are, that would have.
Yeah.
You.
Did she
fling herself onto the casket and all that?
I wasn't in there. I just heard her.
You heard it from?
And I left. Oh,
it's like the wowing, just like the terrified wowing. Oh, yeah. I've heard that before.
I would say if that was happening, it was like, well, I guess that person bitching about candlelights not being bright enough is
It was probably her 88-year-old dad.
Do they have do they serve drinks at these things? Will they get a mini bar?
You can.
What?
Whoa. Yeah, you can.
I did not know that.
Note to everyone who's dying soon, please, if I'm coming to your funeral, have a bar.
Yes, if there was any place in the world that would have a bar at a funeral home, it would be here.
well, still, but I don't know if like that trumps tradition of just not serving alcohol at a funeral home.
Yeah, but they normally do the after awkward after party.
The repast.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a margarita machine at a funeral?
No.
That's a good idea. I might have to put that forward.
Just to spice up the colors, a little like, you know, green and strawberry margaritas going while everyone's in black and sad. Our friend who passed away a couple years ago, I went to that was the last funeral I went to in Chalmette. And the Chalmette funeral, by the way, is dressing up as jeans and affliction shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm very familiar.
Oh, yeah. Dress codes at the funerals, please. What is the most inappropriate thing you've seen someone stumble into a funeral with? Jogging suits, sweatpants?
Yeah, I mean, people show up and. Shorts, flip-flops all the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was the last funeral you went to? Was Keith?
I don't know if it's I don't get invited. Do you get invited to funerals? Like,
I don't know how you get invited to funerals.
And if, it's usually like friends of friends that die.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The last one I went to was the one where he works, actually. And it was my brother's business partner. He hanged himself. Probably from having to go on the road with Dan all those months.
Just working with your brother.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
That was in June of 2017.
See, I don't want to say I'm looking forward to my next funeral, but like something I don't often get to do.
Yeah, it was brutal. There was a lot of people there. It was like 400 people there.
Yeah, how many people usually come to?
100 to 200, average 400.
This is just like the viewing kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So people are passing, coming and going.
Yeah.
You'll get people in and
but
out.
But in the main room.
Chapel?
Yeah, in the chapel, there was standing room only.
Oh, yeah.
So how many people was that? 250?
250 plus.
Probably, yeah, yeah. It was packed.
Do you ever get, like, working and you're in the room, just you and the corpse, and creeped out a little?
Not really. It's not the dead people you have to worry about. It's the people who are alive. That's what I've learned. Because the dead person ain't going to do anything.
It's not creepy at all?
It's not. It's really not.
Or when the whole place is empty and you're closing down at night?
It's not. I used to have to sleep in a funeral home because we had to take the call, you know, take calls at night, and I never got weirded out. I mean, it's a big building. That's the only thing that really weirded me out. You've been in a big building with multiple.
Yeah, and it looks like The Shining. Oh, nobody's yeah. there.
Long
yeah.
hallways. Yeah. Good Michael Myers kind of hallways.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a good story, though, I will say, when I first started there, I didn't know anything about sleeping there, whatever. So I'm in the apartment, and I hear what sounds like people in the building at the other end. Well, I'm thinking it's windy night. Whatever. So, well, then it keeps getting closer, and I'm kind of tripping out at this point. I call my cousin. I'm like, dude, I think there's somebody in this building, and why I'm calling him.
Sound like people having a conversation?
No. Like, you could hear them. Like, you could hear, like, boxes moving. Hear them, like, down the...
See, this is the gold I'm digging for right here. Yes, I want the creepy funeral home stories.
So I call my cousin. Like I said, why I call him?
Lively prophet.
Not like he's going to do anything for me, right? I get him on the phone. I'm like, dude, somebody is in this building or something's in this building. He's like, put your shoes on and go see. So I walk out of the door of the apartment, and right where you walk out, you're facing the top of the stairwell. And I hear somebody walking up the stairwell, and I froze. You ever been so scared to the point where you literally just freeze?
Oh, yep.
I froze. It's like I didn't, and it was the cleaning crew. No one told me they had a cleaning crew.
Bam.
I wanted to see a true phantom. Story.
Yes,
or at least Patrick Swayze.
The Prophet and I have shared ghost stories, and we haven't shared ghost stories in about 2 years. But his was interesting. It was when you were at your aunt's house,
worst ghost story that I forcibly tell on everyone is at my mom's house.
At your mom's house, and it was the bedroom, and yada yada. Yeah, you're in your bedroom. Okay, yeah, we told that one about 2 years ago. Mine was when
that ghost story, weirdly enough, happened the evening of me going to my friend's father's funeral.
Wow.
At a viewing.
I went to a boarding school up in Philly, and these cottages are very old. You know, the school is built around World War I, and so the cottages are old. And around one Halloween, it was really close to one Halloween, we had a cottage meeting, and then we heard a bunch of racket upstairs. So in our cottage meeting, that's everybody who's in the dorm, basically. Like, they have to be there. So everybody's there. You hear a bunch of racket upstairs. Go upstairs. All the furniture is on top of the table.
Oh, yeah. That's something that's really common.
Very weird. I saw it. Walked right out.
my mom has the same story. But they were all, like, in the 70s, I think, watching TV in the living room. She said it sounded like people were moving furniture upstairs, and they went up, and everything was changed around.
Wow.
In my old bedroom, where I saw the worst, basically, I just saw, like, a ghost, like, open the door and walk into the room, like, wide awake. And the whole room changed. It was terrifying. And I wasn't trashed, and I wasn't on drugs.
I was going to ask how old you were.
I was 18. And earlier that day, I'd gone to my friend's dad's funeral. It was the first summer. It was the one summer where I came home from college.
Freshman and sophomore.
Yeah, every other summer I was in New Orleans. But I basically just saw a ghost walk in. Anyway, that bedroom, of course, never slept in it again, much to the chagrin of my mom, who, you know, every time I was at home, sleeping on the couch in the living room.
I don't blame you.
But she would always keep me updated on things that happened in the room. So She said one time the door would open into the room. She would push the door open, and a box had been moved up against the door from inside the room. Or she'd go into the room one day, and all the drawers and the desk would be all pulled out. So there was continuous activity at that house.
Yeah.
Past that.
So nothing ever happened before you had your encounter?
No. It was like that. When my parents split, that was the house she moved into. And then there were stories that the old owners had died and blah, blah, blah. It's like a lot of houses, though. And I lived there for probably like a year and a half before I moved to college and never had a problem. Never had like, and I would have the all lights off, door shut, pitch black room. All the accoutrement like in place to like have something creepy happen, and then until that summer when I was home working construction, came home from my friend's house after the funeral. Knew I was freaking out like shit. I got to wake up at 5 a.m. I can't fall asleep. You know that panic where you keep like checking the clock. Like okay, well now I'll only get 5 hours of sleep tonight.
Oh my God.
So I was in that state of mind like I need to fall asleep when my door started creaking open, and then that Christmas I was left home alone. When my mom went to midnight mass on Christmas Eve, I was left at the house by myself. I don't want to be here by myself. And that night before my mom got back from church, when I was upstairs, I was in the bathroom that was like next to my old bedroom. As I walked out of the bathroom, all the hallway lights flicked on. Like I could hear the light switch flick.
Oh yeah.
And I went outside, got in the car, and I pulled the car out on the street, and I waited in the car till my mom got back. Because I'm like, obviously whatever's in this house is picking on me. And in that situation, it's Hollow Man. It's basically an invisible person
yeah,
deciding,
what are you going to do?
I could not fuck with you, or I could fuck with you all evening.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is not fair. Like, if I can't, yeah, imagine if you were invisible, and you were just in a house with a person, and you just, at will, you could just do like the like, just breathe.
Oh, yeah. You've yeah. already won.
What is that? What is that? Four dimensions from
so
Kevin
Bacon? If I worked at a funeral home, I would constantly, it'd be in the back of my
well,
mind.
Well, yeah,
constantly.
Especially with that. I was thinking, and look, I don't get much into the supernatural or whatever, all that stuff, you know, the ghost hunting. But you said that stuff didn't happen until after you went to the funeral. And I've heard that sometimes, like, the spirits or whatever will stick
but
with
that,
you.
But that was my friend's dad, and I had no relationship with that guy. And then I had other things, and then obviously activity continued in my mom's house. So I don't think it was, I don't know if it's related, the fact that I had gone to a funeral that day.
Just coincidence.
Or you just have a perpetual state of bad juju that
but
follows
I don't have
you
any
around.
Issues. Ironically, all the years I've lived in New Orleans, America's most haunted city.
Jesus.
I've moved multiple apartments, never had any problems.
I never had any problems either.
Speaking of which, last night in this rainstorm at my condo building downtown, roof flooded. Multiple apartments got water. I had three different leaks coming in.
Wow.
I was like, this is unreal. And, of course, my landlord was in Annapolis, so I had maintenance people coming over. I had pots and pans and buckets all over. So no ghosts in my new apartment downtown, but plenty of roof leaking.
So you moved out of the Banana Republic uptown into the leaking.
Yeah, I would think I would get the leaking roof in the janky uptown house, not like the multi-million dollar remodeled condo building in the CBD. Oh, whatever.
What you could do next time they leak, so next time Sewage and Water Board cut your water off for whatever reason, you've got water on the backup.
Jeez.
They lost a lot of money on that one because that flooded multiple. If I did not have buckets, the whole thing would have flooded.
What happened with those idiots that they haven't turned in their financial reporting yet?
Oh, they missed their third deadline, the Sewage
Pull
and Water
that up
board.
Real quick. I got to get on this because – So, DM, so this is what happens here. So when you are a government municipality, you have to have certain.
You love talking about your job pretty much. When you
no, this is what I'm getting at.
This episode literally is death and taxes.
Yeah.
You've got the death portion and Steve
well,
and do taxes.
This is more like auditing, really. But they have a requirement to give their financial reporting to the state legislature in order for them to get funding and things, you know. And whenever you're late on this kind of stuff, the sanctions are incredible. I mean, you remove yourself from grants. However, the city and water board or sewage and water board constantly finds themselves like it's like rope-a-dope. They just dipping and dodging and they never get any, like there's no a governing body above them that like really puts the hammer on them. But again,
aren't they already out of money to like,
oh, for the rest of the year? Yeah.
Yeah, they've gone past it.
Fantastic. Just
so I was listening to WWL the other day, and they were saying back in the day, like you had somebody, I forgot, like not an auditor, but the inspector general had something to do with all.
That's you read that sentence right there. Yeah. The legislative office says that until that report is submitted, the Sewage and Water Board cannot receive state and federal funds. So we're going to be having a bunch of friggin'.
Like, you know, but also, I feel like you could give them all the money in the world and everything would still not be working.
Oh, yeah. I had something is going on.
Is that not the most important city, like, function? The thing that pumps the water out of the place that's below
that
sea level?
Yeah, energy, yeah. Absolutely.
You don't want to get diseased fecal matter.
Something is going on with the cable infrastructure in my neighborhood. So this outside cable company was ripping up all the lawns on Canal Boulevard and redoing the wiring. And we didn't get notice of this. We didn't get any kind of notification. They just ripped our lawn.
So your cable all went out?
No, it didn't go out. It's just they ripped our lawn and they put it back. And it's just a giant mess of mud. It looks like absolute shit.
Your property got messed up by some.
We were not informed that this was going to happen. Like,
well, you know what? He didn't check the website.
I didn't check the website. No shit.
Twitter.
Ugh.
See, if something were to happen to me, Steve, and I'm passing away, you guys can do a Death and Taxes podcast.
Oh, no, we're having a celebration. We already talked about this.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, celebrate.
We're having a celebration.
I want to go out in a blaze of glory. I want to go out and make sure it's on camera and I'm on, like, Live Leak or, like, those videos that post, like, watchpeopledie.com and things that. And so at least I can entertain the world one last time as, like, I'm thrown from a car as, like, a frisbee. What's the most messed up, like, dude you've seen in a coffin? Like, it shouldn't have been open casket?
Oh, man.
Because I know probably some people have been torn up in some accidents, and they said, we're going to have a closed coffin, and the family was like, no, well, we want an open coffin. Have you ever seen anything really bad? Like,
I've seen it
like
bad.
Like a puzzle put back together the wrong way?
Yeah, actually, the one time, the craziest thing I've ever seen was this young lady had been in a car accident in Alabama, and it literally looked like someone had taken a samurai sword and severed her head. And
they had to sew the head back on?
Yeah,
so there was
they had an open casket, no lie. But even a guy who had been doing this since before Hurricane Camille was like, I've never seen this before. I mean, he had seen people who had been, you know, decapitated but not severed.
Dude, how? Wait, so this is the guy that does, like, the...
The mortician.
Mortician. Yeah, dude, how jaded is that guy?
I mean, he's normal. He just happens to do something different for a job.
I can't. Would that be fascinating? Could you do that, Steve? Could you stomach being a mortician?
No, probably not. I was just having a discussion with my all-knowing wife, my omnipotent wife, about how embalming is bad for the environment, and I have the biggest eye roll.
Obviously,
I mean. And she's describing.
They gotta preserve the body so they can have the big fancy funeral, so people can go talk about themselves.
Right. And she said, "Well, exactly. She said, look, if I go out before you, I don't want to wake. It's very antiquated. Because she said the colonists and
she also
wanted to wake up the soul.
Bathtub.
Yeah. Well, whatever. You know. I'm sitting there listening to her, just laughing. I'm like, all right. And I said, do you actually think that I'm gonna go through with all your wishes, or I'm just gonna go oppo and buy a plot of land? With the life insurance proceeds. And
I don't want your wife to die, but I'm already looking forward to this wake where you purposely go against all her wishes.
Yep.
That'll be a good speech. Make sure you talk about yourself the whole time, too.
She
everything here, folks, was my idea.
It was funny that she said, she's like, yeah, I think you would do all my wishes. I had a smirk on my face like the Grinch.
Your wife does not know her husband well at all.
Oh, gosh, I want to go oppo and everything. Oh, the dishes get put like this. No, they get put like that.
Okay, so we'll get off the funeral thing for a moment. Though, as questions come, I'll come back to it as I come up with more, like...
Feel free to.
I'm fascinated by people who have to work around dead bodies all the time. So last night, out and about in downtown for a Christmas party, Christmas drinking, did the Luna Fete thing along Lafayette, where it's really kind of cheap, just like flashing lights set up between North Peters and... Or South Peters, North Peters. One of the Peters and Lafayette Square. And they do a whole, like, light show against Gallier Hall and all that nonsense.
I saw that set up.
So we were raging pretty hard at the open bar at Fulton Alley. How often do you bowl, Steve?
Once a year.
Yeah, I was just like, maybe every 3 years I go bowling. So then we moved along through the Luna Fete thing downtown. Light show at Gallier Hall was cool. We'll give them that. We ended up at the Ace Hotel. And I want to get to this story before it's too late. Because I was with some... some people that are known to be very loud, obnoxious kind of drinkers.
Are we doing AEA here?
AEA?
Yeah.
No rooftop yet. Okay. No, we were at the hotel. We were at the downstairs bar at the Ace.
Okay.
And the Ace is known as like, it's one of the newer, hipper, I guess, places, you know?
Yes, we have complained about this ad nauseum.
Didn't think it was like an SJW type of bar per se, but it was. So we're at the bar with one of our louder friends who said, I told him, like, I'm telling the story on NOLA Trash Talk. He's like, do not name me. I'm like, I won't.
Oh, is his name Steven Crowder?
No.
I'm just kidding.
I was Steven Crowder.
Ladder with Crowder, baby.
So my friend exclaims, looking around at the bar with his wife next to him, who doesn't care, by the way, when he says this, man, this place would be a great place to pick up bitches. You know.
Wow.
None of us think anything of it. One of the bartenders, who looks like It's Pat from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, gosh.
Tells him to never say that again in the bar. Like, that kind of language is not allowed here. Like, straight up.
I would have busted out Ludacris, move, bitch, get out the way.
Steve, if
song
you were,
on
if
my
you were
phone.
In this situation, it would. My friend played ball. He was like, oh, I'm so sorry. We all turned around like, what the fuck is going on here?
I would have completely been like dice.
I looked at this.
I'm overhand
I
now.
I looked at this thing, the It's Pat looking creature bartending, and straight up, she's got a hoodie on, and the hoodie says, gender is a social construct.
Wow.
Right there on the hoodie. I was like, a parody. Like, this is a character.
Right.
Someone is playing this character. This is not a real person.
I would have said, I thought Halloween was over.
Oh, see? Man, I wish Steve was there. I would love to get kicked out of the Ace. That would have been amazing. Or you to get kicked out, and I just, like, filmed it from afar.
For saying what? You dress like an idiot?
For
do your job.
For exclaiming.
Pour drinks.
At a bar where there's a lot of women hanging out. Wow, this is a great place to pick up bitches. That sentiment would get you kicked out of a bar.
Whatever, I mean.
And can we like unpack this gender is a social construct phrase?
Yeah, that's.
I mean, if you really break it down, everything is a social construct. Funerals is a social construct.
Yeah.
That's an endless rabbit hole of nonsense to say that.
Is bone structure?
Bone structure is a social construct.
Oh yeah, is it? Yeah. Yeah, it was gender is a social construct. You know, I would love for her to be a cage fighter and have a transgender woman fight her and see how well she thinks gender is a social construct then.
It'll be a social beatdown.
Yeah, it absolutely would
straight
be.
Straight up, though, but this goes back to what I mentioned earlier, that It's Pat, the movie from the 90s. If you guys remember the SNL skit where you can't tell if Pat's a guy or a girl,
right.
That movie can't get made in 2018.
No way.
Can you imagine? We were mentioning earlier about Blazing Saddles not being able to get made today.
Well, that's they just pushed. See, that's like something where you push the envelope to the other extreme. So it's like the correction has to be the way other extreme, you know?
So are we going to get an overcorrection with the gender as a social construct people? And have like something way on the other end in 5 years.
Who knows? Who knows?
Looking forward to that.
I mean, but that's why you're a bartender. You're not a scientist. Get the hell out of here.
Good point.
Pour some drinks.
Well, I mean, they can make.
Why not you?
They can make me leave the bar.
Why don't you shave some lime in my drink right now? Because they do that. You know, they had that whole bowl full of like oranges and limes and.
Called zest, Steve. Zest.
How about zest these nuts?
That would have got you thrown out.
Oh, my gosh. I would have had about 15 one-liners before I had my first drink.
So we made sure, though, that everywhere else we went after that, we were saying the most raucous things possible and not getting kicked out of any other bar.
Well, I mean, if you're trying to be an asshole is one thing, but if...
Dude, if you're a bartender and something really does bother you, like how people are talking in their own conversation...
Right.
And you're just like, you know, ringing a drink up and you're just overhearing it. Let it go.
Let it go if you want a tip.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I understand like people being assholes and stuff, but it's probably pretty loud in there, huh?
That too.
It's pretty...
I didn't even hear my friend say what he said.
Yeah, like I...
But I saw the bartender like start talking to him sternly and I'm like, oh God, what happened?
Do you know how soft you are that if the vibrations that come out of someone's throat that are not directed towards you, they influence your occupation, you are extremely soft.
I should have pretended that I didn't know those people and came up, and when I ordered my next drink, I would ask the bartender, hey, do you know there are any good places around here to pick up bitches?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I mean, and also, I mean, you got to know where you are. You know, you're at the Ace. It's hipster central, whatever. You know, I would never say that. But if somebody did, it wouldn't have.
Well, you would say, you would use some other colorful language, Steven, that I've seen happen before that probably would have set off this bartender.
Oh, that girl over there? I fucked her. Sorry.
We were only at Ace because Luna Fett runs down Lafayette, and we were right there in front of Gallier Hall.
I'm sorry. That just makes me want to be friends with Dice, and, like, he's right next to me, but it's, like, 80s Dice, like, early 90s Dice.
Steve's fantasy to spend the evening with Andrew Dice
Clark. I love it. He couldn't be any more offensive to women, and they loved him in the 80s. Women loved him in the 80s and 90s.
Of course.
Yeah.
What does that tell you about... We're just in that hard overcorrection.
Yeah, whatever happened to all the ladies you could come home and take your day out on?
Yes. That's the 50s. That's way back. What is the...
It's a goof. It's just a goof.
What's the most inappropriate thing you've ever seen at a funeral?
People fight.
What?
Well, emotions are running high. I would understand that.
This one lady was holding like a toddler in her hand, and some other girl comes up to her, just slaps her right in the face. Well, the other lady couldn't.
Are these like this? Oh, wait, the deceased is like a husband, and these are two ex-wives or something?
I don't know who they were, and I think I got that story wrong. The lady holding the kid was the one who did the slapping. So if you're holding a kid, you slap somebody, you can't get hit. Nobody's going to hit you because you got a toddler, right?
It's a shield, yeah.
It's a shield. So she got it out. That's probably not the craziest thing, but it's one of those that stuck out. I've seen people like wake up in a bathroom like hours after passing out from getting too inebriated on something.
Oh, like beforehand?
People passed out in the bathroom at the funeral home?
Yes, I've seen that multiple times.
That
was not in New Orleans, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, was the baby assault lady, was that in Mississippi?
That was in Biloxi.
So okay, yeah.
Kind of par for the course.
So would you say that you've seen more inappropriate things in Mississippi or New Orleans?
Oh, but of course, Biloxi, or I shouldn't say, Gulf Coast of Mississippi.
Yeah.
It's Mississippi. So.
Yeah, it's very, I was wondering.
Anybody ever get in a fight and like knock over the snack table, like in a movie?
No, that would be nice though.
Why don't you have to clean that up?
Yeah, I don't know. We have housekeeping. Let them clean it up.
One of my managers, her dad passed away, and the funeral was on the West Bank at Lights Egan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had like a dark suit, and I had a pink tie, and it was a Wall Street shirt. Like, it has like the white collar, but it's blue, I think.
Yep.
Anyway, I came over, and I like the whole suit, and it was after work. I came over to manager, talked to her, and yada yada, and then she came back to me. She goes, all those people, like the West Bank folks, they thought you were the funeral director. I was like, why? Because I'm the only one here in a suit?
Dressed nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't go. I mean, it depends on, I guess, the deceased. But, I mean, I'll do slacks and a button down. But I won't go all out suit unless
I was coming from work. Exactly. So, you know, I just had a suit on that day.
You were accidentally appropriately dressed.
Yeah. Because the reason why is because we're on the wank. And apparently, you know.
No one owns a suit on the
wank. No.
Yeah, so I have something I definitely want to talk to you about.
Uh-oh.
Prophet.
The Sid story?
That too, if we have enough time.
That's a Tinder Sid story, by the way.
I'm loving this diet you told me about. Are you
I get to pontificate on my beef-only diet?
Yes, I'm very interested. I didn't get a chance to talk to you a lot about. Are you still doing that?
I have like intermittent like cheat days now, and I've worked eggs in. For folks who have no idea what we're talking about, there's a lot of fad diets going around, even though that's a wrong expression. Like a way of life, I guess, of eating, of super, super, super low carb, and doing the most extreme of that with just to only eat meat and meat and water, basically. And the most extreme version of that would be only eat one kind of meat, which would be beef and beef products like liver or whatnot. And then the idea being you can get all the nutrients that you need from that, You don't want any no carbohydrates or starches. That no vegetables.
No tomatoes.
No
they kill you.
No nightshades. And it's super healthy. And if you're somebody who has like some chronic issues or you're overweight, like instantly, all of these things will start correcting themselves once you simplify your diet. So yeah, I've been doing it very strict since July. Lost weight. Saw other like little like side things clear up and whatnot. And yeah, I've worked eggs in, and I have like some cheat days now and again.
Just, you'll have a chip or two.
Yeah, like a chip or two. Or last night there was free catering at this work Christmas party I went to.
Yeah, you got.
So
gotta
I tried
up.
Some of those items out, and it's like, well, I'm never gonna have like this like cheese fig spread thing again. So I'm like,
sure.
But yeah, every day I generally this is not an expensive diet. For like $12 or $10 even, you can get like a chuck roast at Walmart. Like it's a big hunk of meat. Takes 5 minutes to slice up and cook in a pan, and it's all the food you need for the day. You will not be hungry.
I did see a picture of the prophet coming home hammered one night, and he just went raw meat with salt. And
steak tartare.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You know,
but I mean, steak tartare has like, you know, like vinegar and stuff in it.
So when you first started that, did you have any kind of gastrointestinal stuff? I mean, did your body take
no?
Any
the hardest
time to get
part
used to
for to doing this diet for like a person who's eating
shitting bricks.
There's no constipation. You know where that constipation thing comes from? That story that went around like 40 years ago that John Wayne had 20 pounds of undigested red meat in his system. Just like old wives' tale kind of things.
It's stupid because if you drink water, you're fine.
That could not even be true.
Yeah, if you drink water, you're fine.
Yeah, and human beings have been eating meat and animals for millions of years. Yes, we're going to do millions. Sorry, Bible folks. Earth wasn't started 6,000 years ago.
Thousands.
And all the cave paintings are of animals and not tomatoes. So this is the ideal. I mean, basically, look at your own family history or heritage, where you come from on this earth. Look back as far as you can 1,000 years, and what were they eating? That's probably the safest thing for you to eat. Genetically.
Look at the hunters and the gatherers. The hunters were, you know, in shape, and they just grubbed on meat, and the gatherers were a bunch of...
We can't possibly, like, get into, like, all the details of this. That'll get you thrown out of the Ace Hotel, Steve. But, no, it's great. The only problem for if someone's on a typical shitty American diet, and they think whole wheat bread is healthy, so they have whole wheat sandwiches and hummus and vegetables. Vegetables actually, like a lot of them, have such like low amounts of like poisons in them. Basically, that food produces like a defense mechanism because the plant knows it's being eaten. So I mean, you eat a lot of that stuff, and it'll build up in your body over time and cause like some kind of maybe like you know joint pain somewhere or
that's
whatever.
Different. I've never heard that.
But if you're on this diet and you say, hey, I want to try this all meat thing, that first week is gonna really screw you up. Because pulling the carbs out. Your body has to switch over to burning fat instead of burning carbs.
And the sugar, you're gonna feel like sugar, yeah.
You're gonna feel like a stack of sandbags. Like working out on that first week is gonna be a struggle. Sluggish. You're gonna have no energy. But you want to eat beef because you want the fat. So if you do a low carb thing and you're eating chicken breasts, life is not going to be very fun for you because there's no fat in that, and you got no energy, nothing, and you'll drop a lot of weight. But the healthiest way to do it is you want the fattiest cuts of steak or a fatty ground beef. And I don't know, generally, and drinking on it, it changes cravings around all. Like, I don't really like craving for alcohol, gone, really.
That's good.
But it's more of a lifestyle habitual. I'm going to go watch a Saints game and drink beer. But right. And then hangovers, gone. No real issues with hangovers.
Yes, apparently we were supposed to meet at 11 today.
Yeah, Steve books time to do all the trash talk, and I'm ready. I'm wide awake and ready to go 2 hours earlier because initially I thought I'm going to be way hungover
after having getting at 4:30. Jeez. Or I was saying you got in at 4:30 though.
It's one of the weird. And then there's like some negative social things, like you go to restaurants or parties, and there's no option for you to eat. That's where I kind of get stuck.
And then
you have to explain it.
Well,
someone asks you about it, and then you sound like a broken record talking about your diet. And that's where you got to do like little cheats because you got to eat something at these things. I mean, I'm so economical. If I'm like, hey, if I could save money eating here and not buying food later, I'm going to eat whatever this stuff is. But yeah, it's cool. Why are you doing this diet?
Oh no! I've read up a lot about it ever since you told me about it. There was some young lady
who's
like
the lady on Rogan.
Yeah,
there's a few people that are pretty like famous out there just saying like, hey, this fixed my issues.
Yeah, she had like all kind of stuff going on with her. She did that all gone.
It's really hard to like bring it up in New Orleans because this place is so centric on right. like the just large quantities of beans and rice. And it's like all
and
of the
stale bread and fried shrimp
and po' boys that are 80% just white filler bread of like the lowest quality. It tastes good. It's great and whatnot. And I know like you think your fully dressed po' boy with lettuce and tomato is like a vegetable serving.
It is absolutely
all of
opposite.
That stuff is like you need to just take and everything's fried. Everything's covered in cornmeal and it's all.
Food company conspiracy. You can say it.
Well, there's absolutely that. Because what if somebody comes out? What if like a wave of thousands of people say, hey, only eating beef or meat and super low carbs, maybe still having vegetables, but super, super tiny servings. Doing this, you lose all weight. Your diabetes goes away. Your arthritis goes away. Thousands of people doing YouTube videos and testimonials. If that catches on a massive wave, the pushback from food companies and the commodities guys that do soy and corn are going to have to come back and fund fake studies saying red meat causes cancer, or they will say red meat linked to cancer. And like every report you go and try to find arguments against it, you can literally find some half-assed study to prove any point you want. So all you can do as if you're, say you're overweight, all you can do is go on the diet for a month, see if you start without going to the gym. See if the weight just starts pouring off of you. Like, huh, there must be something to this.
It seems like this
I feel great and I'm losing weight, but the scientific study says I'm going to have colon cancer.
It seems like I've heard of this happening before, Prophet. Maybe it was back in Rome and the Catholic Church needed to save the seafood industry. So what did they do? Oh, you guys can't eat red meat during Lent. That's it. We'll save the seafood industry. Ugh.
People think that stuff that's like too weird for it to like. No, that couldn't possibly be true.
It is.
Once again, it's. I know it's redundant to talk about dieting thing, but
no,
it's.
That's interesting what you just said, Jeezy. I've never heard that before.
That's absolutely why the Catholic Church came around to Lent is because the seafood industry was struggling. So all these people were poor parishioners, and they came to the church and said, "Look, we can't give you any more, what do they call them? The thing to get out of hell. I don't know.
Oh yeah,
whatever Martin Luther.
No, the church
against.
Was selling the things like right. instant. Like you give the church money, and they'll forgive you for everything. Oh,
wow. So the church wasn't getting that. So they're like, you know what? Save seafood industry. You guys can't eat red meat for this crazy 6 or 8 weeks in the spring. And you know what? We're gonna change it around with the calendar.
I'm a victim of the propaganda.
And the seafood industry went like this.
When I first did like a keto, paleo, whatever diet, like, and I just did like chicken and vegetables in like 5 years ago, and lost a lot of weight. I didn't go to red meat because I was under the red meat bad. It's just all nonsense. You could just disassemble everything.
A lot of that stuff
learned.
Too is smoking the red meat. Like if you cook it on a grill with charcoal. That is the carcinogenic properties. Yeah, yeah. Not necessarily just like heating it up in a frying pan. You know?
We got about a minute left here, so it's time for that endless conjecture, folks. The Saints are kicking off in 7 minutes from us recording this. Saints Bucks Tampa.
Dude, sideways rain.
What's it gonna be, guys? We got three predictions we're gonna do.
The Saints are favored by 9.5. I think it's gonna be a much closer game than that.
All right.
We edge Tampa by a point, maybe.
Okay. Nameless Goon, what are you saying for the Saints-Tampa game today?
I see us running the ball a whole lot with the rain. I'm going to go kind of high, though, 35-21.
I like after that Cowboys game, I'll take anything over 20 points scored.
Amen.
It would be a welcome change of pace. Joshua, of course, will predict that the Saints will blow out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No problems whatsoever. We claim our first ever back-to-back division title in franchise history.
Yeah,
we should have had last week, but whatever. So yeah, that's a prediction. It does look very miserable outside.
I'm so happy I'm not there.
But this was NOLA Trash Talk episode 219. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
I'm Steve McJeezy.
I'm the Nameless Goon. Thank y'all for having me.
And we'll be back with a Christmas episode, I'm sure, coming up soon. Sure.
again. Bottle handful of bitter in a weekend.